Knowledge Fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is I got a haircut.
Yes,
and
you did.
And I'm thrilled about it. I
noticed.
I think it was a good job they did
yes.
at the barber, at the haircuttery.
Agreed.
I think that actually is a place, like a chain of...
It is.
I did not go to a haircuttery.
You did not. I know, because your hair looks quite nice.
So I did that, and it was an interesting experience, because there was a fight going on between two of the barbers.
Interesting.
It was real passive-aggressive.
what kind of a fight?
I don't know. It had something to do with someone refilling the warm towels or something. At least that was a part of it. But there was there was clearly layers to it.
And
part of it seemed like maybe they were having fun, but then another part of it felt like it's really hostile.
Right.
And when you're mid-haircut, that's not... I mean, you can't move. You know, you're like, I'm out of here.
At least you weren't mid-shave.
That's a part of it. I do get a haircut, a beard trim.
Oh, yeah, but you don't do the straight razor.
Oh, yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Did you get it yesterday?
Yesterday,
Oh, my God, your beard grows so fucking fast.
It does.
Man.
It is a mess.
It is
a mess.
But that's astonishing.
But that's why it's like I could get to the state I was in yesterday morning. Where there's just poof.
Yeah.
Like, a ridiculous amount of hair growing out of my head.
Yeah.
I learned that lesson over and over again. It's like you feel so much better when you just chop it off.
Yeah.
You know? I keep forgetting it whenever it's, you know, I get lazy.
Yeah, well, it happens.
Second bright spot.
Sure.
Correction.
Wait.
A correction. Gene Hackman is still alive.
yes, that is true.
On the last episode, I definitely said that Gene Hackman was dead. I think this is another Mandela effect, like Clarence Carter. I could have sworn those dudes were dead. But I was wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Sorry, Gene.
Hey, Gene, glad to know you're still kicking around, buddy.
Yep.
By the way, he's a huge listener. He's the one who reached out to let us know he wasn't dead.
Yep.
He was like, whatever his lines from Hoosiers were.
Right.
Yep.
He was mad that I didn't bring up that movie he was in with Jason Lee. The fuck was that called?
I bet he doesn't know.
Oh, man. Gold diggers. It's something along those lines. Anyway, what's your bright spot?
I know. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Dan, is, boy, I don't know if you know this, but we were designed to hype.
That is true.
We're hypers?
Heartbreakers was the name of it.
Heartbreakers, that's what it... Because it has a what's-her-face in it.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
That's her name.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it?
I'm looking up the...
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, I was about to say, oh, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Yeah, probably. Sigourney Weaver also in that.
I think every episode now we should end with somebody being dead.
And we're wrong about.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I interrupted you with that.
Oh, yeah. So I've been putting a lot of work into a certain something that will come to fruition, hopefully soon. And I've got a lot of good news, and I'm really excited about it. It's really, really cool, and I think everybody's going to like it.
Okay.
We'll hear more.
What a amazing hype.
It's a hype! I'm just saying that there's something to be hyped about.
Okay.
That will be revealed in the near future.
Maybe on Monday.
Maybe on Monday.
We'll find out then.
Could be, but I'm hyping it.
Hype!
Hyped.
You're going to see something very bizarre mirrored back in your face in just a minute.
Okay.
So, Jordan.
Yes.
Tucker Carlson, the most important man in the world, has gone to Moscow to interview Vladimir Putin.
Yep.
We took a little bit of a gamble And I thought that the interview was going to come out on Wednesday. And so we would be able to cover it for this Thursday episode.
Would be nice.
Because I do think that the adjacency of Alex to Tucker, the importance of Putin in their world, I do think that it's something that merits coverage on our show. And I thought, hey, that'll be wild. That's going to be... I don't even know what to expect, quite frankly, in terms of the depths it'll go to.
I mean, I was trying to think of something similar, and it would be like in 1943, some fucking yellow journalist goes and interviews Hitler in the middle of World War II, just being like, hey, man, how you doing?
And doesn't interview them like challengingly.
No, this thing hasn't
come out, and you already, I mean, you know it's not going to be like really putting the feet to the fire.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, it'd be great to cover this for Thursday for our, we record on Thursday for the Friday episode.
Sure.
But unfortunately, it turns out it's being released Thursday, which is when we're recording right now.
As we speak.
So turning it around would be too difficult.
Impossible, in fact.
Some have speculated that time and space would need to fold.
They would. Yes.
So we're going to do that for Monday, which is not what you were hyping.
No, we're hyping something different, but that also should be hyped.
Sure.
Yeah, Monday's going to be more... Actually, turn this episode off.
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So we're going to cover that for Monday, but what I thought would be interesting is covering Alex's response to the news that this is coming.
That's kind of what I figured would be a good hype.
Yeah, so we're talking about Alex's show from the 7th, which is Wednesday. And, you know, he's a big dum-dum. So we'll get down to business on how, all the ways in which he is a big dum-dum.
Sure.
But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Dan needs to do Mystery Babylon like he promised. Oh, no. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I promise I would like to, but that might have been a stray promise on my part. There's so many parts to it, and Bill Cooper is unfortunately more boring than I thought back
then. Well, yeah.
Next, keep up the great work from Nick in Devon, England. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, after listening to hundreds of episodes of Knowledge Fight, officially heard Jordan misuse the word whenever over 1,000 times, and it's driving me crazy. If you know when the thing happened, just say when, not whenever. Other than that, you and Dan are pure delight, and please keep doing what you're doing. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I hate whenever people do stuff like that.
I am 100% on the Shakira whenever, wherever usage scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that is whenever and wherever.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Next, thoughts and prayers, but it's like T-H-O-T.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. I still don't know what that means.
What? That hoe over there?
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very nice at all. That's an offensive term.
How do I know a slang that you don't know?
That's not good. I don't know.
And Helter Stelter, thank you so much. You're an policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
I was this close to naming the episode that.
Yeah.
This close.
I mean, it was two there.
Yeah. And it was just broken with the tradition of the chatting with titles.
Yep.
So we also got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Todd. Invites you to the Black Magic Party. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat. And I'm going to say this right now.
Yeah.
Though I may have never followed through on my promise to do Mystery Babylon, I am now following through on my promise to have a new technocrat drop.
I'm a policy wonk.
I don't like to hype things, but people are designed to hype. I am going to paint once a week on air, and I'm going to let callers call in. We'll also take emails and request what you want to see me paint.
1, 2, 3, Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
There you go.
It's party time. I'm going to get in your guts. And the Nazis, in my view, were thugs that shook people down, did a lot of really bad things.
But they did good things, too. We're going to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
Okay.
I'm thinking about doing some shows, too, where I run the whole thing myself, just hit record, and sit in the dark with just a few candles and candlelight and talk about the nature of the world universe.
I mean, you know, a big old juicy ribeye, folks, is as good as, you know, sex with your wife. I mean, let's just get down to reality here.
I'm going to go Donkey Kong, King Kong crazy in about 45 days. America sucks. We're all racist. It's over.
Doesn't mean I want to go live, say, in some places in Asia where you get off the plane over there, folks. They karate chop you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, man. They karate chop you.
Yep. You never see that coming.
Never see it coming.
You get off the plane.
Oh, that was a great episode.
That was. That was a lot of fun.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe I might need to tweak the pacing on that a little bit.
I mean, it's a delay.
It's long.
It's fantastic. But, yeah.
So, we're going to get down to business on this episode. But, Jordan, before we do, here's an out-of-context drop from today's show.
Okay.
Tucker Carlson wants all the big interviews. You got Kevin Spacey. That's what Tucker Carlson does. You got Alex Jones.
Yeah, man. Two big interviews.
Oh,
Alex,
man.
Jones and disgraced ass Kevin Spacey.
Man, it's beyond parody at this point. But boy, watching conservatives list celebrities that are also conservative is never not a little bit fun.
Mm.
Ugh.
Yeah.
You know who we got? Blank. Oh, no.
Can you believe he pulled a Kevin Spacey interview?
Are you shitting me? Maybe. That guy no one else will talk to?
Yeah. Oh, and he did his character from House of Cards? Oh, wow.
What a great thing no one wanted.
Not be able to stop doing that. So we start here, actually, with Alex responding to the breaking news that this interview had happened.
Yes.
And it turns out he's driving somewhere.
That's
when the news happened. And okay. this is something that's happening now that Alex is back on Twitter.
Yeah.
Is he's able to just record himself in his car put it online. So here is Alex's first unfiltered while driving thoughts.
All right.
Okay, folks. Tucker has announced that he's got the Putin interview. And he just texted me and said, yeah, it's amazing. It's 2 hours long. It's going to drop very, very soon. I'm not going to sit on it. And it's going to be history making. We're trying to stop World War III. All the different sides should be talking. This is amazing. So, obviously, tomorrow on my weekday show, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., I'll be covering this. But it sounds, from what Tucker said and what he's told me, this is imminent. So, this is a big, 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 big deal. And all the censors are in absolute, full, and complete panic mode right now because they don't want the American people. Who they keep in the dark. Have any idea what's really going on? But free speech is what America's all about. It's our birthright. So, 2 hour Vladimir Putin Tucker Carlson interview about to drop. Fuck you, New World Order. Take your censorship and go fuck yourselves.
Very impassioned.
Go affect yourselves. How about that?
Also, could you walk the line here, sir? I'm going to see your license.
I was honestly like, does his car have a breathalyzer that he has to breathe into?
I think he's just a little unenthused. But there is, like, that's probable cause.
He should really have a breathalyzer before he can start his car.
Well, that would be tyranny. So, there's excitement behind the unexcited delivery that he's bringing to the table here.
Yeah. I think, just based upon hearing that, do you remember in The Dark Knight, whenever the Joker was like, let me show you what I can do with this pencil?
Of course.
Right? That is what William F. Buckley would do to Tucker Carlson.
Ooh.
Right? Like, the fucking National Review-ass conservative thought guy would stab you in the neck with a pen. Like, it is insane to think.
I don't think he stabbed him in the neck, did he?
No. I'm moving on from that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly didn't have much love for, Goldwater and some of the ancestors of Alex's intellectual tradition. Buckley certainly did not like them too much.
Mm-mm.
Not sure if he'd go all Joker on him, but you never know.
Yeah.
So we start Alex's actual show on the 7th here, and of course, Tucker is one of the big topics.
It's Wednesday, February 7th, 2024. I'm your host, Alex Jones. We are 271 days, 12 hours, 49 minutes, 18 seconds off the most important election in world history. The globalists are hurtling us towards full World War III.
Chair.
They're now calling for Tucker Carlson to be sanctioned by the European Union.
Right.
The neocons are calling for his arrest. This is all about the war on the press and the war on the people intensifying.
So one EU lawmaker named Guy Verhofstadt tweeted about the possibility of Tucker getting an EU travel ban for engaging in propaganda on behalf of Putin, but that wasn't really something that went anywhere.
Yeah.
The EU foreign policy chief Josep Borrell told Barron's, quote, currently there are no discussions in the relevant EU bodies linked to this specific person, referring to Tucker.
Right.
Real talk, though, he probably should have some sort of consequences for an act like this.
Yeah.
It isn't just a little old journalist going and having a sincere interview with a controversial leader. There's nothing wrong with that kind of interview where the journalist is prepared to ask hard questions and make the most of the access that they've been granted. It's very clear from everything about Tucker and how he's handled his career that this is not what the interview is going to be. This is going to be Tucker very willingly being used by Putin to spread his message, which is not an interview. It's promotional.
Yeah.
One of the early signs that this was the case was when, before the interview dropped, Tucker took to Twitter to rationalize his actions. Tucker...
I'm sorry. I bet he'll convince me with this.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tucker said that it was important to hear Putin's side and claimed that other Western journalists hadn't even tried to interview Putin.
Sure.
This was almost immediately rebuffed by Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov, who said, quote, "He, in fact, cannot know this. We receive many requests for interviews from the president." With the president, excuse me.
Sure.
So why did Tucker try to pretend that no one else was even trying when, in fact, everyone was trying and Putin only decided to choose Tucker? It's because he wants to act like he's the only person doing real bold journalism, and if he admitted the truth, it becomes a whole lot harder to argue with the claim that this interview is being done for Kremlin propaganda, and they've chosen you as the person most likely to spread that propaganda in a positive light with no uncomfortable pushback.
I was hand-chosen to publicly lick the boots of a dictator, and now all of you get to watch.
Right. Have I triggered you with my journalism?
Libs.
It's easy to sit around and say that Tucker's being a useful idiot and all that, but I don't really buy that.
No.
I don't think that Tucker is there because he's blinded by ambition or the drive to get a big scoop, which is just being exploited.
Yeah.
I think he wants to do this.
Yeah.
He likes Putin. He loves Putin. His audience loves Putin. This has been true for a long time.
Yeah.
And as you know, it's free speech and freedom of the press, but the EU doesn't operate the same way the US does, and they're certainly much more directly affected by Putin's aggression, so maybe they should do something. I have no faith that the U.S. is going to do anything. Sean Hannity's show on Fox News just aired the Guardian Angels beating up a guy that they thought looked like an immigrant live on TV, and there seems to be no consequences for that.
Yep.
So I'd just give up on accountability in the media in the United States.
No. It exists. I know.
I feel like that is one of the most shocking things that's happened in a long time.
I mean,
the fact that Hannity's not shit canned the next day.
Oh, they don't care.
But in a sane world... you're fired.
I mean, I don't know.
You interviewed the fucking Guardian Angels and let them beat up a guy on TV.
Here's what I have to say about all of this.
Yeah.
All right. Every single person who said anything to me 7 years ago should just be very quiet about the things that I say.
But you said a lot of stupid things, too.
I did, but I was right about the ones that mattered.
But I'm not sure which ones you mean now.
the ones where if you allow these people to go unchecked, we're going to get here and not it's just going to be more of the same.
Yeah.
No, we're going to watch people beaten to death on live TV. Well, that's where we are now. Hooray!
Thankfully, we're not at the beaten the death part.
Right. That's a thing you said.
True. I think that this is one of the things that you can kind of sense is a pretty potential or likely outcome of the trends, the things we've been going down.
Yeah.
But it's always hard to make specific predictions, and the way that things specifically play out always still feel a little shocking.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
It's like, we did this, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean...
50 years ago? When were the Guardian Angels around? The '80s?
This is what I'm saying. The more I get into this, the more it's like, oh, this isn't a thing. This is just the ones that they stopped 60 years ago. They didn't stop them. They just went quiet for a while and now they're back. Like the herpes of America. And they're not gonna go away.
So, Alex has Tucker on the mind, obviously.
Sure.
But there's shit going on in his world that you may not believe. And I say that because I don't believe it.
Oh, okay.
And this is just a little side note, but it gives you the climate of the left here. We have leftists, and I'm not going to get into the details of it, filing constant fake police reports on me. And there's been all sorts of stuff that's going on. They've done things in a whole bunch of Texas counties, including Travis, where they hack into the database computers.
I'm sorry?
Of courthouses and issue arrest warrants for me from other states to Texas. So the next level of swatting for child rape and stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. I'm not going to get into all of it, but I was going to be hosting the fourth hour today, but I'm not going to do it now.
I have to deal with warrants?
I have the police coming here so that I can brief them so they can go arrest these people. Because they are absolutely sick of it. And it's not just one group, but it's a bunch of them. And so and I don't tell you about this stuff. I don't complain about it. It is nonstop. And I know the same kind of crap happens to Tucker. Can you imagine being Trump? I mean, it's 50 times that, 100 times.
Probably about 100 times.
I'm sorry. There are a lot of warrants out on Trump?
This is almost impossible for me to believe, this story that Alex is telling. The level of hacking this would require is very unlikely to happen. And this is really not the process things would follow if police were to come across an out-of-county warrant for Alex.
I mean,
or something like that. This is bullshit.
I think there are enough people who just watch that shit that we would hear about an out-of-county warrant issued for Alex fucking Jones.
There is a strong likelihood.
Yeah.
I also think that I just don't think this is how it would go. I think this is nonsense. But what fascinates me is imagining what this could actually be about.
Yeah.
I don't exclude the possibility that there is some kind of legal trouble that Alex is in. There are certainly a number of avenues that could involve, or this could just be a fun story that he's come up with to amplify his own victimhood.
Sure.
Tucker just got this interview with Putin, so Alex is going to be in the doldrums for a while in terms of attention, unless he gets some good juices going. The EU wants to ban Tucker.
Right.
Obviously, Alex needs some kind of persecution of his own.
Yeah.
It's boring if he doesn't. He's not over the target unless there's consequences.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't know what... I mean, okay, so the hacking thing sounds stupid, but it's totally a social engineering possibility. Somebody could call and be like, well, I forgot my password. You know, that shit happens. So we do that. But I mean, what warrant are you sending? What could you be sending out from the courthouse?
But Alex is also saying this keeps happening.
I know. That's the crazier part.
That's the part that makes this into the realm of completely unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievable, I agree. I think this may have happened once. The idea that it keeps happening.
I even think it happening once is incredibly unlikely.
Something that caused this incident to be lied about happened. And I want to know what that is.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And and we're not going to get any clarity on that. But apparently, there have been 6 police reports since yesterday at this time when Alex is on air.
That's fun.
I've been trying for 2 weeks, and I'm behind. I'm going to start doing multiple ones a week just with the Crowder show because I had this whole Satanism special that I've been working on for like a month.
Pro or con?
Didn't get it shot last week. Tried to shoot it yesterday. Couldn't do that because... 6 fake police reports filed yesterday. But now one of the people doing it, their identity's known, so they're going to be getting visit reportedly. So, but this is all next level swatting, ladies and gentlemen. Next level harassment. And I'm a big boy, I can take it. But that's how they take your time. It's how they take your energy. It's why you got to stay focused on God. And focused on justice, and just know that God's going to carry us through this. But can you imagine if we just roll over to the New World Order, how bad it's going to be? Can you imagine?
7 police reports.
7.
How insane it would be? Because I don't let the enemy take my time any more than I have to. So I haven't even really told the crew about this stuff. I haven't even...
Because that would take too much time?
They're saying there's a lot of stuff going on. As I've got arrows and stuff, shooting past, and God has put a defense shield up around us, but it's still not fun. So I'm gonna do the show here.
Defense shield activate.
I'm gonna do the show.
Like a mope. If I have to.
I don't buy any of this.
No,
there is like just a preliminary smell test. This doesn't pass.
Yeah,
and then even just thinking about it for a second, it's like. You whine all the time. Mm. You would tell your staff about this.
Absolutely.
There's no way.
You would walk in the door screaming,
dude,
I got hacked!
Rob, dude, they're trying to get me.
Totally. Yes. 100%.
Yes, I don't believe that.
Not even close.
I think Alex might have some legal trouble.
That sounds right.
So we get back to the discussion of Tucker.
Sure.
And you're not really allowed to disagree with him.
Tucker or Putin?
Tucker. Well, I mean, both, really.
Yeah.
But if you oppose Tucker, that's censorship, my man.
Interesting.
We have the big Tucker Carlson report, and they're dropping the interview tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern. Very smart to not sit on it and to get it out very, very quickly. It's very, very historic. We have the EU saying they want sanctions on him. Some are calling for Tucker's arrest. This just shows you what criminals they are. They don't want you to be able to hear what you want to be able to listen to as an adult. So when people censor, you're not just censoring the person that's being censored. You're censoring everybody's ability to make up their own mind. And I know everybody knows that, but do you really let that sink in?
Opposing what Tucker is doing is not censorship, at least not for most people in this instance. Mm. Vladimir Putin is leading an invasion of a neighboring sovereign country that has led to about 500,000 deaths, according to the New York Times, from an estimate back in August. So it's gone up since then. Mm-hmm. Whether Tucker likes to admit it or not, deciding to interview a person like that within the context of an active war becomes a part of that war. You may feel like you're not engaging in an aspect of the war, but Putin sure does. There are responsible ways to interview people, even up to rogue heads of state, but it's hard. Walking the line of understanding the seriousness of the situation and making the most of the access you have to this person, not missing the opportunity to ask hard questions other people can't, is very difficult journalism. What Tucker is doing is not that. He's used to interviewing Cat Turd and the guy who claims he had sex with Obama. Mm. He's a shithead who wants to pal around more than he wants to do adversarial, challenging interviews. Mm. When you do that kind of an interview with the head of state who's engaged in a war started by their own invasion of another country, you're effectively becoming part of the war effort, just from a propaganda standpoint. Criticizing this is not based in censorship. Some of it could come from a much deeper place. Mm-hmm. That being said, Alex is trying to trot out his "when you take a show off air, you're censoring the audience's right to hear things" line, which is a big point that he and his lawyers tried to make in the Sandy Hook damages hearings. It failed to be persuasive there, and yet Alex continues deploying it as if it makes any sense. Mm. Taken to its logical conclusion, Alex should have zero complaints about public indecency if this is his position.
Yep.
Any attempt to stop these indecent acts, like, I don't know, Steve-O stapling his balls to his leg, mm-hmm. are just attempts to take away your freedom to see things, like Steve-O stapling his balls to his leg.
Yep.
Is this America?
Yep. Yep.
I feel like Alex has had a lot of complaints about things that have been aired.
I imagine that, and I'm going to throw this out there, mm-hmm. if Fox suddenly was like, hey, guess what? 24/7 butt fucking. That's what we're doing. We're doing 24/7 butt fucking. That's our network now.
See,
I imagine
I think
people might be unhappy with
it. I think that's across the line because, you know, airing pornography on public air.
Sure.
There's still FCC regulations about that.
Sure.
Let's turn this into a channel just being like, we're going to talk straight up about Satan all the time.
Yeah, I mean, whatever
you
like.
That would be the equivalent.
Sure.
You'd get around the kind of legality regulation aspect,
whatever you want.
Yeah. This is dumb.
It's very dumb.
Alex is, though, not thrilled by celebrities. We know this, but he's thrilled by Kevin Spacey doing an interview with Tucker.
I was gonna say he's a star fucker.
Yeah, a little bit, but he's not in his own head.
Well,
so I'm telling you,
I've been best friends with Charlie Sheen since
zero pride in knowing a bunch of famous Hollywood people. In fact, I'm ashamed of it, pretty much.
Wow.
And I have nothing thrills me.
Doesn't thrill me at all.
Fishing with my family. I mean, a lot of stuff thrills me, but nothing in the establishment thrills me. No status, no power, nothing but freedom matters to me. Mm. But I got to tell you, Tucker Carlson is a thoroughbred now, and he's totally awake, and he's a good friend, so and nice. I am just very, very blessed to know him.
So we're in the phase of the episode where Alex is just like really excited associating himself with Tucker.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's fun.
Yes, it is. It is nice because for a narcissist, this is where they get to convince you that they care about you, mm-hmm. as opposed to puffing you up in order to make their association with you even more important.
Sure, and then it will twist.
Exactly.
At a certain point.
It always does.
And towards the end of this episode, I think Alex gets the other side of these feelings. But for now, it's kind of like I'm proud to be friends with him.
Of course.
I don't give a fuck about the establishment.
Right.
I want to be ride or die with Cat Turd.
Yep.
You know, these are the people who matter.
Man, we're just going to live like this till we die.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
it's good feelings right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like it.
So, and part of that is because Tucker is able to save Alex's children, apparently.
Okay.
My wealth.
Does he have them?
Is my children in the future. And people like Tucker Carlson have the best chance of saving me and my children. So Tucker Carlson is mine. He belongs to me. And he belongs to you.
There's
and I
narcissism.
Belong to you. Do you understand that?
Happened quicker.
People hate us because they know we're good. We're decent. We're not perfect, but damn it, we're not out to hurt people, and we believe in humanity. I played this clip 15 times, probably, but I want to play it again. Pull up There Will Be Blood, the clip. Yeah. Where the oil man explains to his cousin, and he learns isn't his cousin, kills him later, that he has a competition in him.
Spoilers.
He doesn't like to see other people do well, including their families.
I don't like other people to have milkshakes.
He doesn't like to see other people do
he
well.
He doesn't.
What a great description of There Will Be Blood. He doesn't like to see other people do well.
He's like the globalist that way.
That always reminds me of my favorite Paul F. Tompkins story about that, because he was in There Will Be Blood,
right?
On the other side, and he's just like, and a lot of people think he's a very intense person, and he's not. He's not very intense at all. He's the most intense person who has ever lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
So
doesn't like to see other people do well.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. There was a couple other takeaways that I had.
I think watching him beat a man to death with a bowling pin.
Didn't want to see him
do well.
Didn't
want to see him do well.
Yeah. So yeah, Tucker is mine.
Yeah, that hit fast.
I do like how he had to be like, he's yours.
Yeah.
Like,
he can't,
I think he was
can't.
Like, oh, I gotta course correct this thing.
This might be a little too weird.
Yeah. Oh, Tucker might hear this.
Yeah.
So after the clip, he comes back, and you know this idea of the globalists are like Nathaniel Longview.
Right.
Is that his name?
Nathaniel
Plainview.
Plainview. Yeah.
He's the globalists are like him because they don't want to see people do well, and that's why they kill us with vaccines.
All right.
They want us dead. That's not hyperbole. That's not hype. That's real. They want you dead. 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 I have a stack of mainstream news and new major scientific studies that it's over 20 million dead from the shots. And cancer is the highest ever recorded, shooting straight up.
Straight up.
All the young people are all having heart attacks, and they're all getting cancer now. We don't know what's happening. And they got billboards and TV shows and public service announcements about it. Murdering us.
Yeah.
And people tune in. You know, Glenn Beck years ago, he goes, I tune into that Alex Jones, and he's scary. Buddy, I ain't scary. I'm just the light pointing at what's scary.
I'm just the mirror holding up to society.
I am the light pointing at what's scary.
Mm-hmm. Flashlight.
Yeah.
So that stuff isn't true. Cancer rates in the U.S. are fairly steady as a whole over the past years, but they're way down from the early 90s, and so are death rates from cancer.
Yeah.
One area that is of particular concern is data has come out showing that the number of people around the world under 50 who get cancer has gone up 80% in the last 30 years.
Mm.
This is worrying, and researchers have a number of explanations for it involving increased rates of obesity and alcohol and tobacco use. What no one thinks is the COVID vaccine started killing people in the 90s. But
no.
I guess that's Alex's idea.
No. It's more like being alive in American society causes cancer a lot faster than most people.
Well, and one thing that people have pointed out in some of the articles that I was reading was that as we've become better able to treat many cancers, people have taken prevention a little bit less seriously. And that can be a part of the dynamic.
Sure.
I think it's probably a constellation of different causes that are affecting things.
For sure.
So this 20 million dead from COVID vaccine number, it's something that's been floating around since at least 2022. It was wrong then, and it's still wrong. By October 2023, the Epoch Times had found a slightly new version of bad math, and they reported that it was 17 million dead, which should have been great news for the conspiracy crowd.
I was going to say.
3 million less dead.
I was going to say, that's exciting. That's the numbers have been revised downward. We're on a better trend.
But now I guess Alex has it back at 20 million.
Ooh.
Can't imagine what dumb Substack he's getting that from. But you see there's something that's so fascinating about him in this dynamic of, like, I've got a stack of mainstream media articles and studies.
Yeah.
You decry education in the mainstream media all the time, yep. Yet you need their credibility in these subtle ways. It's not even something that his audience is thinking about.
Yeah.
But Alex says that because he knows if he just, like, some dumb shit wrote this on his blog, they wouldn't take it seriously. Even Alex's audience would be like, I don't know. But now these other outlets that I fucking hate and print nothing but trash, they have standards, so I'll take that seriously.
Yeah, that is such an interesting point, because if you, like, step back and take a look at what kind of all that really means, is that somehow people who do not trust doctors trust doctors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I will not trust doctors, but I won't believe something unless a doctor has approved it.
Yeah.
Which is,
well, it's because they don't actually have that distrust. They have the air of that distrust,
right,
or whatever. They have the brand of that distrust that's been sold to them by people like Alex.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, when the rubber meets the road and you're in the foxhole, there is no, not that there is none, but there are many less.
I mean, it's also kind of, and it's one of the things that is like, it's one of those, like, if you want to stop the fake problem, you kind of have to deal with the real problem. And that is, when you have such a two-tiered or multi-tiered healthcare system,
true,
then it's a reasonable thought to go, well, I don't want that doctor. I want the good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is the good shit.
Well, in some cases there is, in some cases there isn't.
No, totally.
And that's part of the problem.
But the totality of our like, viewpoint towards medicine is that there's somebody who's getting the good shit.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's always a rich person who's getting
secret life extension technologies.
Totally.
Alex's clean vaccines.
Why did Magic Johnson live? You know, all of those things.
Yeah.
It's like,
fertile ground to be exploited.
Yeah. And if you don't want people to go, like, oh, well, we can't trust that doctor, we should go to a better one, you kind of have to make it then.
Yeah. It's not going to solve the problem itself, but it would contribute quite a bit to taking away some of the influence.
Yeah.
So, look, we've got some really serious stuff going on.
Yeah.
And so Alex keeps it serious.
Of course.
By complaining about a women's SWAT team.
Ah, well, I'm sorry.
I saw this a couple days ago, and there was so much news I didn't get to it. But, you know, it really is important, because when I posted this I linked to it on my ex account, it already had like 15 million views. It got a couple more million views.
Damn.
And I noticed the left was in there defending it, saying, you're bigoted, Mr. Jones, against women because you're making fun of this.
You're a bigoted one, well, Mr. Jones.
It'd be like saying a man can have a baby.
Mm.
Junior, Arnold did it.
It's
boom.
Ridiculous.
Done. Next.
So, footage from Dubai shows women from Chile's highest-tier police task force attempting to complete in the 2024 UAE SWAT Challenge, where they embarrassingly struggled to complete the first obstacle alone and couldn't do it.
Okay.
Now, there are similar obstacle courses that, you know, you can go pay to go on. And I'm not in great shape myself, but I could complete these courses way better than
go
these
now.
Gentlemen.
Now, right now. I will get a camera. I will pay any amount of money. Let's go.
Broken ribs or something
now.
By the end of it, but
in the car.
In shape.
Now.
I mean, I can still hike 15 miles, 20 miles. When
Let's go do that, run, then.
I'm not, you know,
now.
Certainly good at the type of stuff SWAT teams do.
Mm.
And but watching the women compared to the men was like watching a BB gun versus a 50 caliber rifle. And Hollywood puts out all these movies and this culture where always the toughest person's a woman. She can beat up 20 men. And the women are all in charge. And all that is to do, all that's designed to do is break down civilization and society.
It is.
It's not to empower women.
All of it.
It is to break up the family.
The whole
it
thing.
It is to confuse roles. It is to make women think they can have these type of careers.
What?
So that they don't go out and have a family, and so that they'll be part of the system.
Damn.
Interesting.
And then it sabotages the human system, and they can bring in AI and robots to replace the post-industrial collapsed human society. That's their official plan.
Oh, that took a turn.
What I find so fascinating about that is that last turn is interesting because it is more like a just bizarro version of the real plan. You know, like, it's not of his real, like, society. Mm. You know, like, everybody has roles. Women are specific to do this only. All of these things. And the idea of women having any agency at all is a disruption completely to his society.
Yeah.
You know? And it is like, you can wrap it up in, oh, they're trying to kill everybody and destroy the family or anything. But in reality, what he's actually saying is just straight up, women are subjugated to me.
And the threat, like, you know, it's being embodied here as, like, AI taking over, yeah, and destroying the world is, like, almost an expression of the existential threat to his worldview that autonomy has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, women doing whatever they feel that they want to do, sure, is a threat.
It is reasonable for him to view it as a threat because it is a threat to his existential,
right,
point. But, I mean, his existential thing shouldn't exist. So, you know, that's on him.
Yeah.
He could just change his mind.
It could. So the UAE recently held the SWAT challenge for 2024, and sure, one of the categories is a female SWAT team challenge.
I'm sorry, the United Arab Emirates,
yeah,
invited the female SWAT team challenge thing.
Well, there's also men
and they and all agreed to
tower
go
challenges.
Sure, sure, sure. Sure. And then they all were like, this is a good idea.
It did not seem like every country had representatives,
sure,
but there were a fair number.
Okay.
So the Chilean team had a rough start on their run on day three, which started with everyone having to get across a zip line over water.
Okay.
They botched that and didn't have enough momentum to get across, and a video of that made the rounds on the predictable right-wing social media, sure, accounts, particularly ones that are obsessed with rigid ideas about gender.
Man, those are so embarrassing. Mm-hmm. I watched somebody get stuck on a zip line.
It hurts.
It sucks.
So I went and I watched some more of the event, and it's glaring how cherry-picked this is.
Yeah.
The teams from Abu Dhabi and Thailand are great on the course, so one wonders why these people didn't include them in the conversation. The reality of this is that there's a competition, and some teams were good and some were less good.
Interesting.
It serves the interests of folks like Libs of TikTok, who are one of the accounts who posted this, to show only the women doing poorly, because this reinforces the idea that they have about gender roles.
Right.
Being on a SWAT team is a traditionally masculine role in their mind, so they need to present evidence that makes it appear that women cannot do that stuff. They just aren't meant to. It's nature. If they presented the Chilean team in context, which is to say that they had a bad run, but the other teams in the competition were great, then this can't really be used for their propaganda.
Yeah.
You need to give the impression that all of the competition was just inept, because that comports to your worldview, whereas reality doesn't. In order to serve your ultimate propaganda goals, it's necessary to present a distorted version of the real world and insist that you're the only one showing the truth. It's a pathetic charade, and I guess Alex saw someone posting this on social media, and he wasn't curious at all about what else is going on in this competition. Alex wasn't curious because the propaganda narrative that this clip was presented in comports to his views as well. He sees something that affirms a position he has, so it doesn't matter if it depicts reality. Alex has no interest in the second step past seeing a meme to determine if there's more context, because that would ruin the misogynist fun for him.
Yeah.
That's a good way to spend your time.
Yeah.
Good episode.
I always, you know, there are those posts. I always like a good post, mm-hmm, where it's like a picture of a dog doing something, and then it's like thousands of years ago, hey, I'll just go hang out with this human. What's the worst that could happen? And then the dogs are subjugated, you know, like that, mm-hmm, right? Man, slave catchers turned into SWAT team people at the United Arab Emirates. That's a surprise.
Yeah.
That is a fucking evolution. I'll tell you that.
Some of the stuff is pretty impressive, though.
I mean, believe it.
In terms
it.
Of getting over obstacles and...
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm
the
not
sharp
saying,
shooting.
Hey, listen.
I mean, in practice, it's kind of scary how efficient some of the folks are. But...
I mean, the problem that I have with it is that none of that shit should exist, period. And yet somehow people are turning it into a misogynistic problem as opposed to a none of that shit should exist problem.
Well, that is an interesting take. I mean, yeah. I think that
the United Arab Emirates shouldn't exist.
Well, hold on now. Look,
like, let's go way back.
That is, well, let's put a pin in that.
Sure, sure, sure.
And there is an interesting element that Alex should probably be more scared of the police state implications of this,
yeah,
than he should be about
absolutely
women being in a SWAT team.
Are you kidding me? SWAT teams are traveling from around the world shouldn't you be mad that there are even Chileans?
His whole thing, like, the militarization of police is evil and all that.
Totally.
I guess
shouldn't
not.
Shouldn't you be mad that the United Arab Emirates are hosting cops?
Maybe.
To share information with other cops?
I don't know if they're sharing information. They're competing.
Yeah, well, that's a form of sharing information.
I think that they have a vested interest in not sharing
information. Let me tell you something. I've watched a lot of anime. Mm-hmm. Fighting is sharing information.
It's true. You get XP.
Uh-huh.
So, Alex talks about this for a long time.
I believe that.
And at one point, he does even get into playing Yakety Sax.
Well, that's just great.
Or maybe
that's
the Benny Hill theme, or is that the same thing?
It is the same thing.
He plays that over them hanging on the zip line.
Such a great song.
It's poorly placed here, but Alex talks about forever.
So I'm going to roll you some of the footage here. And it shows the women proudly charging out and then getting the first obstacle, which one woman made it through.
It's like a
Laurel and Hardy or Three Stooges episode. I mean, hell, just see it for yourself. For radio listeners, I'll give you a play-by-play.
Vamos.
Here come the women charging up.
Five ladies teams.
Already off to a bad start.
Involved in the UAE SWAT Challenge this year.
And they grab the little trolley.
Belarus.
Zip lines.
Thailand. Chile. Two teams from the Emirates.
One of them makes it across.
Oh.
And the others fall in the water.
The first one to get wet in the ice bath today.
And this goes on and on.
And, they are stuck in the middle of that zip line.
Remember, so the leader goes back and try to save him.
That's how it works. Are you mad about that?
Zip line and do it again. And currently, Chile have three team members stranded.
They don't even know how to rock their body and move forward with their hands.
Of that ice bath. Thankfully, the water will be a little bit warmer than it was.
I mean,
on this morning.
I did this a few years ago with my kids.
Vamos, vamos.
My fat ass can do this. I was sore the next day. But
just goes to show you how important momentum is.
It's true.
Oh! Three team members in the drink.
And then all of them in the drink.
It's all going horribly wrong. And,
She's got some nice childbearing hips, though.
Jesus, man.
I swear to God. Somebody hit him with a baseball bat. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Oof. Yeah, pretty gross.
Wow.
Pretty gross. And that's not play-by-play. He said he was doing play-by-play.
Nope.
That's color.
Yep.
Sure.
That's no good.
It's disgusting color.
Ooh.
So,
Stacey King would not be happy with that.
Yeah, I feel like that was maybe arguably long.
I would say so, yeah.
As a clip to play. But yeah. I want to stress, like, he's playing a long bit of this. He goes on.
This is, I mean, honestly, it is kind of amazing that this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I understand the internet and how.
You mean the competition? Or
no,
Alex
no, no,
doing
no. That the whole right wing is doing this.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Like, I understand how the internet works and people do this, but I mean, man, if you want to watch anybody of any gender fail at anything, it's there.
Sure, go like, watch Hole in the Wall.
I mean, yeah, it's like I can't imagine watching anyone fail at a competition and being like, well, this means something.
Right.
I've watched so many people fall into water because they bounced off something.
Some things are fucking hard.
It's what it is.
And like, the zip line is not at like an angle that would be conducive. You have to like really push yourself.
Yeah.
It seems like something that could be failed. Although the other teams do it fine.
There is no conclusion to draw from any of these competition reality shows or things like this or anything other than, wow, that person is good at a very specific thing to do.
Sure.
Or, wow, that person is not good at a very specific thing to do.
That person's great at getting in a hole in a wall.
No other qualifications or things learned.
Right.
None.
Yeah. But we should probably talk about this some more.
Yeah, probably.
How about the women just identify that they won the games? Just say, we identify as the first place winners. And just give them, of course, if you watch the film of the men, we should probably pull that up. I saw some of it. They're just charging through it like it's nothing. But you want to see them fail some more? You want this just to keep going on till they finally just give up? So that's the false reality they want us to sit here and believe in.
It's not
inferior, the other side of the species.
That women can go down zip lines is the false reality?
They're not designed for it.
They're not designed for zip lines.
Women in a certain percentage point at the top that are incredible and can compete with some men, yes. But that is a very, very small percentage of women, and then they can't compete against the best men.
Wow.
They can just compete against mediocre men.
Okay.
Yep.
The best women can compete against mediocre men.
Congratulations. Fine.
Oof. So why won't Alex talk about the other teams that kicked that course's ass?
I would like to know that.
Maybe it's because it runs counter to his argument about gender norms being absolute. Maybe because he just saw some shithead post this on social media and then never even considered watching any more of it to learn more.
That does sound right.
In that clip, he does some untrue things, though. He says some untrue things. For one, the men's competition was on a different course, and Alex didn't watch any of that.
Fair.
Second, the Chilean women's team doesn't give up. They keep trying, and they eventually get across the zip line. And they finish out the competition. They lost, but they did what every coach says is the most important thing. They didn't give up. And there's something to be proud of about that.
They Jamaican bobsled team did.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And again, the existence and performance of the other women's teams in this, it really destroys the argument that Alex is making. Even if he were aware of the full picture, he would just still pretend that those other teams don't exist, because that's a critical part of upholding this misogynist worldview. You have to point at this failure as being indicative of all the teams.
Yeah.
You need that illusion in order to prop up your reality.
Yeah.
And it's disgraceful.
Yeah, it does, like... The reaction to this, the whole thing, like every part of this makes me feel like either I am a complete and utter insane person, because that they are women, period, is so far down my list of things that I think about whenever you tell me that there's a SWAT
sure.
team competition in
I
the
understand.
UAE.
You want to crush UAE. You want police not to exist. Sure.
I'm just sorry. It's not, and it's not even like that stuff. It's just like that's not what I would think mm-hmm. of. That's so crazy to me that your first thought watching that is
not
like,
even,
ah.
It doesn't even rank. It's not even on the list of...
Between their legs. That's what you thought? That's what you thought?
Mm-hmm.
Insane!
Yep, but hey, man, that was the way it was presented on social media.
Insane.
And that's where Alex gets all of his information from, and that's what he's just after show for dumb shitheads on Twitter.
Yeah.
So we get back to less important issues, like Tucker.
I don't know what to do with this world.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson now on Ukraine's kill list for interviewing Putin, Europe's European ally.
I'm sorry?
Joe Biden has sent hundreds of billions of dollars to us, openly targeting the lives of American citizens for simply asking questions. Well, yeah, that's what the Democrats want to do here. Tucker Carlson is now included on Ukraine's kill list in response to interviewing Russian President Vladimir Putin that aired tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central. And by the way, I'm just going to announce this now. I'm doing a special emergency broadcast. Tucker wants this free into the world. So as soon as the interview goes live tomorrow night at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, we will air the interview, and then we will have commentary after. So I'll go live at 6:30 tomorrow night, right after the War Room, and then... I will give some commentary. I will stream it out on our network and our system. We will air the Putin interview. And then we will take questions and comments afterwards, because this is historic and Tucker Carlson's risking his life. The kill list is believed to be the product of the Ukraine Center for Countering Disinformation. Appears to have added Carlson Tuesday, shortly after he confirmed securing an interview with Putin.
Sure.
What pro-democracy folks they are. The Ukraine kill list was created by President Zelensky himself, with the backing of the American CIA and NATO itself.
So I'm sure that Tucker is really excited about the idea of Alex trying to funnel off some of the views from his video.
Oh, yeah.
In fairness, it probably won't make that much of a difference, but if I were Tucker, I would be pissed. I would not like this kind of behavior. Another thing I wouldn't be too happy about is being added to a kill list. The good news is that Alex is just making up most of that. The reality is that Tucker was added to the Mirotkovits list, which is a list of enemies of Ukraine.
Yeah.
It's not run by the government. Zelensky didn't start it, and it's not a kill list.
Ah.
It is very possible, though, to have concerns about the list and the site itself and the way that they do publish personal data of some of the people that they list.
Nice.
But what Alex, in his complaints, what he's doing here is a farce.
Yeah.
This is a great example of a time that Alex could actually stake a position that rational people might agree with him on. But he can't deal with reality without adding layers of sensationalism onto it. Alex doesn't want to deal with valid criticism of this site as it exists, because that's hard. There's a lot of detail to it, and you have to be specific about your points, which then people can disagree with. It's so much easier to just yell that Zelensky started a kill list and Tucker's on it now. Mm. Your work is done there, and since the root of this tree is so disconnected from reality, it doesn't matter where the branches grow.
Yeah.
Nothing's real here.
I wonder, I ask the question, is Himmler an enemy combatant? Heinrich Himmler, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, it's fine if Ukraine kills Tucker.
Well, look, I don't want to get into the weeds of what Ukraine can and can't do in the context of war.
I mean,
I am more interested in the specific claim that Alex made.
Right.
And he's wrong.
That I agree with.
Okay.
But it would
now
be fine
if they
were. Now,
you can have a flight of fancy.
It would be fine if he was.
Okay.
Like, it shouldn't. I mean, yeah. If you get into a war, you shouldn't be unhappy if people are like, well, we're going to kill you now.
Mm.
You're in a war. And if you talk to Putin and then put it out for the world to see, then you have just entered the war as Putin's propaganda director.
I would say that I am against war in
sure.
general and
sure.
as a whole, but yeah. we do have to accept the reality that it does exist.
Yeah,
and it does exist currently mm-hmm. in Ukraine and Russia for sure.
Yeah,
Tucker, for whatever he wants to pretend he's doing, is taking a step into that.
Yep,
by interviewing the head of state of the aggressive belligerent party
mm-hmm.
in a way that is not journalistic.
Yeah,
now granted, we haven't seen it. So, you know, it's hard to make specific, like, critiques of what he does and doesn't do.
Sure.
But it would be ludicrous to not look at his MO, look at his history, the way he's conducted interviews in the past, and think that he's going to do a, like, a real Frost Nixon type...
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
...adversarial yeah. debate or
interview. And if we saw
interview.
It, if he did, we wouldn't see it. Anything that comes out with Putin in it is under control.
Putin wouldn't agree to do it if
Absolutely
it wasn't
not.
Very well understood. That's why he's
yeah.
not accepting all the requests from other media
yeah.
outlets.
And if he didn't like the results, it wouldn't have been released.
Right.
That's it's
he
that
has
simple.
Final edit.
Absolutely. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So again, that is entering the war. I don't think there's any other way of putting it.
In some,
I'm not going to join the war.
In some sense, you could say that it's inserting yourself into a far different world than you have any business being in.
I don't know if I'm taking a job from Hitler, I'm going to have to assume that I'm in the war. If we're in the middle of a war,
mm?
If Hitler offers me a job, I say, guess what? No, thank you. I don't want to be part of the war. Or I say, now I am part of the war. That's the war part, right? Mm. When the head of a war starts a war, and then you take a job for that person, then you're in the war.
Yeah, I think that there are some distinctions between taking a job that runs consistently and doing a job. You know what I mean?
Right.
I do think there's some distinctions.
During a war.
No, I
is
mean,
the
it's,
doing
it's
the
messy.
Job.
It's messy. I don't know. It's I don't think that it's enough to like make him a full on combatant or something like
sure,
that.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I do think that he's entered an arena that is not just like dumb shithead propaganda journalism
sure.
to a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no. If listen, I doubt Ukraine again. He's not on a Ukrainian list.
No.
Right.
Well,
but if
he
the,
is. He but is, if but he, it's not a kill list.
Sure, 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 sure. Or like an official, the president made
right,
this
right.
list. Yeah, that, you know, he's not an enemy of the state.
I'm sure Zelensky's not thrilled with him.
Totally not. But if like, you know, so they're not going to care. You know, they're not like going after him or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But if a drone strike hits Tucker Carlson's house, they wouldn't be mad about it. And I would be like, well, then you shouldn't have interviewed Putin. It's that simple.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, like, it's, we're so past the point of, like, it being is a hypothetical.
Yeah. Yeah. He actually did it, so who fucking knows, man?
Yeah.
It's on him. Whatever happens is on him, not on me.
It's messy.
Yeah.
So, Putin is going to talk to Tucker, right? Uh-huh. He's going to get into some conspiracy shit, obviously.
Of course. Yeah, obviously.
And I want to talk about what you can really expect in this Tucker interview that's got them so scared. So, get the clip of Putin, please. A year and a half ago, saying he's been warning the world about U.S. creating biological weapons in Ukraine and other areas. And, that is true. Victoria Nuland, who really is the president of the dictatorship there.
I'm sorry?
Puppet is the penis piano player, Zelensky. And she came out in front of Congress and admitted, yeah, we have bioweapon labs there, months after they denied it. So how would you like it if Russia was in Canada building bioweapon labs? Again, I'm just saying. Here's Putin.
So, yeah, no shit, Putin's going to talk to Tucker about the bioweapon lab bullshit.
Yeah.
The goal is to spread his false justifications for invading Ukraine to a wide audience through the conduit of a useful or collaborating interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
Tucker was a huge part of spreading that false talking point in the United States, which is a huge part of why Putin chose to talk to Tucker and not somebody who would push back on this shit. There weren't bioweapon labs in Ukraine, and Victoria Nuland isn't the dictator of Ukraine. We've been over this a bunch, so I'll save getting back into it for Tucker's actual interview, but the point is, of course this is something that's going to come up.
Yeah.
The goal of the interview is to sway Tucker's audience to the idea that Putin is the good guy in the war.
Mm-hmm.
That's his consistent position on air, Tucker's, as well as Alex's, and a bunch of their other right-wing buddies. The thing I just can't take is that these folks are so clearly deeply in support of Putin, but won't just come out and say it because they know that staking that position openly could be risky. They have to hedge all their positions in constantly arguing for why they support Putin, but then saying that they don't support either side.
Yeah.
It would be like me constantly saying 2+2, and then you being like, oh, you mean 4? And me being like, oh, no, not 4, but what about 3+1?
Yeah.
And then you'd naturally say, you're talking about 4. And I would act all shocked and say, can a guy not say 8/2? It's an annoying game that these fucks play, and I wish they'd just come out and be honest about their position.
Yeah.
They won't, though. Because they know deep down that Putin is a really bad dude, and they want plausible deniability in case they ever get called to the carpet for supporting him. They want the benefits of this position and, you know, what you can get from it, but they want to dodge any kind of risk.
Yeah. I mean, that is the point. That is the point of euphemism entirely, and why our society is fucking stupid about it is insane. I don't get it. Like, you can say the exact same thing. Ah, but I didn't say it with those words. Mm-hmm. So, no accountability for me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure what kind of direct accountability there is at the present time, or even maybe in the future, to being like, I support Putin.
Yeah.
I don't know what there is. I don't think there is that much of a consequence outside of stigma and people looking at you as...
It's genuinely Cold War shit. I think it really is like, if we say that we're 100% pro-Russia, then we are negating all of our Cold War bullshit.
It may be, but the reality of the positions that they put forth, and Alex is like very clear about, is that the United States has been captured by these demonic globalist entities that aren't the United States, and he supports Russia over the United States.
Right. But I heard Love It or Leave It for the first 20 years of my fucking life, so...
Well...
You know?
Yeah.
These people are... I'm gonna tell you this right now.
That might be a different breed of right-wing than Alex, though.
They are not straightforward in their thinking.
True. But I think a lot of those Love It or Leave It types were... You're talking about people who are like, if you don't support the Iraq War and stuff, and maybe Alex would have had a more slightly different position back then.
Maybe.
But were it happening now...
Love it or
and
leave
Trump
it, baby.
Was the president, and he would support the Iraq War pretty fully.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Man.
Yeah. Anyway, look, the media.
Yeah.
The media.
What about the media? What did they do this time?
They're not congratulating Tucker.
But just pull back
for
a minute,
sure they're
and
not.
Let it sink in for a second. That we are so used to tyranny now that where is the media? Where are journalists standing up for their own profession? Saying this is a long tradition, and this is a good thing he's done, regardless, we should hear from all sides. Remember Osama bin Laden at 9/11? They played all the videos of him talking about why he did it. Of course, he was really CIA putting out propaganda.
There we go.
Wasn't what really happened, if you know the whole story. But
what?
the whole
everybody
story.
Goes interview Saddam Hussein, Ayatollah Khomeini. Hitler was interviewed during World War II.
By
They'd
whom?
Show Hitler speeches and newsreels at the movie theaters. People wanted, you know, have Americans were like, here's what Hitler's saying.
Well, that's a little
we were
different.
Americans. We got to hear what the other side was saying. When you're not allowed to hear what the other side's saying, you got a big problem. And you can point at Russia and say they've got some controls and censorship too. But the West is far surpassed that now and can't point their finger at Russia and say, oh, look, you know, you're the bad guys.
I think that if somebody who is deeply sympathetic to Hitler or bin Laden did an interview that was clearly meant to ingratiate him to their audience, people would have a problem with that. There's no deficiency of hearing what Putin's saying. You can find his speeches and plenty of declarations he's made, so it's no secret what he's about. And it's abundantly clear from Tucker's career as well as his past interviews that he's not interested in finding out more about Putin's position from a journalistic perspective. He's there to give Putin a non-threatening platform to push his narratives to Tucker's audience. That's his role, and he knows it. And Alex even knows it. There's some shameful justification stuff going on here, and Alex can't even get through without recognizing that the press isn't free in Russia.
Yeah,
he can't even finish his sentence without having to, like, okay, not as bad as here, though.
I mean, yeah, the idea, like, the history of World War II is an American myth, great, but, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody wasn't super on board until the first concentration camp pictures and shit came out. Mm-hmm. Then everybody was like, fuck, this has got to stop. And journalists were deliberately keeping that information. Or, but no, I mean, Hitler was deliberately leaking information to journalists that was not that to
yeah.
For that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you interviewed Hitler, you could not get a adversarial interview where he's like, well, obviously we have the concentration camps.
Whoops.
That's my point. Yeah. I'm making it very poorly, but you understand what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, you wouldn't get... But even still, there is like a version of an interview that I could see being... You know, a responsible thing. Hitler's a pretty extreme example.
You can't get... I mean, listen, at a certain point, there are extreme outliers that we all go, let's not apply this to other scenarios. Well, here's where we are right now. Fuck Putin. Then we'll move on to the next one.
Because here's the situation that you really have to wrestle with if you're in the position of being a journalist in this spot.
Sure.
You have to ask yourself, what do I get out of this? Not just personally, but what is learned by this? What is gained by this in terms of reporting?
Sure.
What am I possibly going to be able to learn? What kind of questions need to be asked? That kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, you have to ask, why is this person doing an interview with me?
Sure.
What do they get out of it? What is their agenda in doing this interview? And if you can't really answer the first question and the other one is a question you don't want to ask, you shouldn't do that interview.
See, I find that fascinating because I do think those are great points.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It just never occurred to me.
What?
Because to me, like, once you go into war space,
mm-hmm.
then the only two things matter. Making the war longer and killing more people. Like, that to me is, does this make the war shorter or does it kill fewer people?
Mm-hmm.
Those are my choices once I enter war.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you are giving him an interview, to me, there's no area of Tucker giving Putin an interview that doesn't ultimately wind up in longer war and more dead.
I agree with you in the real world.
Right.
But in Tucker world...
Their
kind of understanding of things is the only way for the war to end is for Ukraine to submit and
stop fighting
back.
Totally.
So from Tucker's viewpoint, if you're applying your standard, nothing that he's doing is lengthening the war. I don't think he's correct, but from his vantage point, you can easily see that being like, oh no, I'm actually, you know, trying to shorten the war by getting the word out about this noble person's purpose.
I suppose you could believe that.
I think it would be hard, but I think you could.
I mean, hey, if you have been paid millions upon millions of dollars, I find that you get... It's a lot easier to believe all kinds of stuff.
If you're someone who's excited to interview Cat Turd...
Yeah. Then maybe... I've seen people who get paid millions of dollars believe all kinds of crazy things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of someone who believes some crazy stuff, Alex has a guest.
Well, she's a great talk show host and filmmaker, been a guest on my show many times years ago, and we've been working with her some now on documentaries and more. Very, very exciting lady. And she was coming into town to talk to us about filmmaking, and I said, why don't you just come on the show And so she was here yesterday, but then I had an emergency come up and I had to leave in the fourth hour. Lawrence. So she stayed over, even though she was flying out last night to be with us. She's at Lauren Whiskey DE on X as well. And it's great to be here with you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a complete honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you. I've never met you in person until yesterday.
Oh, wow. She ran for Congress unsuccessfully.
How'd it go?
Unsuccessful. Mm. And she's an interesting, fun choice for Alex to have as a guest on today. She has a past in promoting QAnon.
Sure.
She's a, quote, self-proclaimed flat earther, according to the New York Times.
All right.
And a Putin supporter, a big-time Putin supporter.
Good.
So she'll fit right in. Good guest for today.
Hmm.
Good stuff.
Man, Putin support and a flat earther? That means I could push them both off the edge.
It's true.
That'd be fun.
Unfortunately, to do that, they would have to be right.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to call into question a bunch of shit.
If I get to do that, I will give up all my beliefs.
I think you'd have to go ground up.
I think so.
You have to rewrite a lot of stuff.
I think I'd be fine with that. I'll make that sacrifice.
So Tucker.
Yeah.
Used to work at Fox News. You know that?
I have heard that in the past.
You know why you got fired?
No.
He was getting too close to the truth.
That sounds true.
You know, remember when they kicked Tucker off of Fox News in the first place? It was because of his coverage of the Ukraine war. He was getting too close. And they spied on him. They ended up hacking into his phone, reading his text messages, reporting him. The one thing that they did not want to happen was this interview. And that's because... Putin knows where all the bodies are buried. He knows about the
He's burying them.
Weapons labs. He knows about the truth about the war.
He's the bury bodyer!
While Zelensky's been busy doing his rounds for Vogue magazine begging for money, Putin has practiced extreme restraint during this war. And that's something that I think people are going to learn with this Tucker interview tonight.
Very well said.
Very well said. The bury bodyer is Violet Beauregard.
Yeah. Thank you.
No problem. So she had a fun story there. I guess we're just going to ignore the part where Tucker was part of a lawsuit from Dominion that cost Fox $787 million. Mm. No, I'm sure they fired him because he was getting too close to uncovering the truth that Putin is pretty cool.
Well, according to some people, they fired him just because he was so much of an asshole.
I'm sure that also plays a role, but $787 million ain't nothing to sneeze.
Yeah, that's true.
So Lauren gets it, though. She understands that Tucker's interview is going to be a puff piece meant to sway people to support Putin. Yep. She already supports Putin, though, so it's a good thing as far as she's concerned.
Yeah.
But she knows where the body's buried. All this. Go fuck yourself. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I am always shocked at how many people will find a way to convince themselves that it's all right to go to somebody else's house and murder them. You know,
as
long as it's the United States doing that, you know, or
you want a drone
citizen.
To destroy Tucker Carlson's house.
It's amazing. No, it is kind of. Yeah, but I'm not going. I'm not going to hop a flight. See, that's the difference.
her perspective is fun.
Yeah.
In a novel. It's not connected to reality, but it's fun in terms of making a brash noir story about a brave reporter, all this stuff.
She did leave out all the calling his boss the C word and such. She did leave that out. That was suspicious.
There's some stuff that's on the cutting room floor.
They saw his text messages where he called his boss the C word a lot.
Huh. Oh, and weren't those text messages because of the lawsuit?
It could be because of the lawsuit that they got his text message. It's almost like he had to give them text messages. He wasn't being spied on.
Mm. No, man, he was too close to the truth.
That sounds true.
Now, Tucker, he ended up losing his job with Fox News because he was covering the war so fairly. And then you see the freak out
when he goes
to Russia and gets the interview himself. Because
we're fair and balanced, but not that fair.
We get whatever the regime, the military-industrial complex wants us to know. And it's a shame because we basically have government-ran media. We don't get to know the truth, but Tucker going directly to Putin, someone who empowered the church.
A government?
In his country. He brought the church up right next to him and empowered Christians in his country. Mm.
And Zelensky's banned the Orthodox Church.
Yes, and then Zelensky, on the other hand, is
the Russian Orthodox Church.
Ukrainian Orthodox.
Heavily aligned with Russian interests.
Because they might have a connection to Russia.
Maybe not
and
religion at all,
kind of
actually.
Evident. It's very evident. While Zelensky has a transgender spokesperson lecturing us on the evils of Putin is calling out America for Well, remember when he called us, I think, the Great Satan or something? He was talking about the Iranians.
What he said was, the American people are elite bombarding them with anti-family evil.
Yes.
They're trying to destroy their family.
Yes, yeah.
And he said basically that the United States is run by pedophiles, which is true.
Yes, and it's true.
These people just support Putin. They just want a leader like Putin. It's not that complicated.
Just say you don't like that people talk a lot here.
Right. You don't like that people are different than you. So you can be opposed to Zelensky's actions in relations to the Russian Orthodox Church without then supporting Putin.
Sure.
It is very possible.
Yeah.
Also, if this is something that's so important to these people, then they should really take issue with Putin's oppression of people's religious beliefs. Like how Russian courts banned Jehovah's Witnesses in 2017. Or how the state oppresses indigenous religions pretty consistently.
Oh, what?
The U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedoms report from 2021 listed Russia as a country of particular concern, which noted that even, quote, Protestant Christians are frequently fined for illegal missionary activity.
Yeah.
These people don't care about religious freedom. What they care about is that they get the feeling that Putin wants to oppress the same people as them.
Yep.
And they like that he's made religion part of his brand. They could give a shit about who or who doesn't oppress religious minorities. It's just a good thing to include in your rationale for why you like the big strong man.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a veneer of respectability that's added over your lust for oppressing the people you want oppressed.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's frustrating because in the current state of things, you know, what they want, what they're describing, what they're supporting in Putin, they know will not be here in its same strength and form. Mm-hmm. So they can be like, ah, it's so great that he does all of this horrifying shit without ever actually having to feel the boot, you know?
Sure.
They get to have a wonderful, fantastical time and be like, yeah, it's so great, unless you're any of the people that I hate in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even great if you're you.
No, probably not. It's a delusion, but whatever.
It's the way people view fascism is the same way they view past lives. Nobody's ever like Derek. Everybody's I was Cleopatra.
Mm-hmm.
No. In fascism, you're Derek. You're gonna get your ass beat every day.
You were Derek.
That is it. Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So I think that you might get a sense listening to this interview that Lauren is a bit more into Putin than even Alex kind of thought.
Oh boy, that's not good.
Other countries used to respect us. I mean, no matter what, you respect Russia and their power structure.
Well, this is a lot bigger than Tucker, as I keep saying. It's a lens through which we see everything. And the fact that they're putting him on a kill list, the fact that the EU is openly saying they want to sanction him, and looks like they're moving forward with that, and that the left and right corporate media is attacking him for this, it really shows how bad these people really are and what they would do to us if they could get away with it. And I know I keep saying that, but that's, I mean, they're not playing games here.
Right.
Everybody respects Putin and Russia and the power structure.
Man, they sent Navalny to... Ugh, dude.
This is... it's a bit on the nose, a bit too blunt. You know,
I mean, it is like when I was growing up, I remember cartoons and everything was like the punishment was being sent to a Siberian work camp.
Right.
That was the cartoonish punishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the heightened beat.
It was like, oh, that's the worst thing that could happen. More scary than quicksand in the 90s was a Siberian prison.
But close.
Very close.
Very close.
Yeah.
So Alex gets into talking about other interviews that Putin has done. And I think he accidentally reveals why they're not doing those interviews anymore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
By the way, I've got a clip of Putin 2 years ago. He's being interviewed by NBC News. We'll play this in a moment. And 2.5 years ago, NBC interviewed Putin. It didn't go well. That's why they've been trying to sabotage the Tucker interview that is coming out. And I love Tucker's crew, know them well. But they love to wait on an interview and add clips and massage it and get it ready. And I called them and I said, and I'm sure they already knew to do this. I'm not saying I did this, but I put a video out too. And I said, you got to release this right now.
Oh my God.
Because the longer you sit on it, the more danger you're in. Because again,
Tucker,
it's a symbol
Tucker,
of the globalists
Alex put out
losing
a video.
Control. And just like they blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, even though it demonized them to the world, they still wanted to say, we're in charge. It's like a woman trying to leave a guy that, you know, breaks her jaw or, you know, puts cigarettes out on her. They're trying to stop us from getting in the car and driving away. Here's Putin stopping NBC dead in their tracks.
Let me just ask you a direct question. Did you order Alexei Navalny's assassination?
Of course not. We don't have this kind of habit of assassinating anybody. That's one. Number two is, I want to ask you, did you order the assassination of the woman who walked into the Congress and who was shot and killed by a policeman?
Ooh.
Do you know that 450 individuals were arrested after entering the Congress, and they didn't go there to steal a laptop? They came with political demands. 450 people have been detained.
You're talking about the capital.
They're looking at jail time between 15 and 25 years. And they came to the Congress with political demands. Isn't that persecution for political opinions?
So this is kind of a good encapsulation of why Putin chose Tucker, or more to the point, didn't accept interview requests from other outlets like NBC.
Yeah.
He knew those outlets wouldn't be hospitable to him pushing his version of the story that's counter to reality. It's really ironic that Alex is playing that clip, because it pretty much demonstrates why people are upset about Tucker doing this interview.
Yeah.
If he was going to do a hard-hitting, asking tough questions interview, Putin wouldn't agree to it, just like he hasn't agreed to the other requests that he's gotten.
Yeah.
This is nonsense.
You think
he's gonna ask about Navalny?
It sucks. No, I don't. Why was it such a great idea to try and kill Navalny?
Well,
I mean, why was it such a great idea for somebody completely unrelated to you and not affected by you whatsoever, with no influence at all?
What is it like for people to think that you did this? Maybe that would be a question.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. So, Alex, here's that, and of course, Putin's talking about January 6th.
Yeah.
And so,
can you imagine? I just, that sucks. That clip sucks for me.
Yeah.
It sucks so hard. It sucks so hard in the same way that Elon Musk sucks. So hard is that you have a nigh infinite amount of power, and you're a whiny little loser.
Sure.
You're a whiny little baby. Your response to, you have the power to murder the only guy who is standing against you in an election whenever you want, is to be like, well, who killed Ashley Babbitt?
Was it you, reporter?
You,
was it you?
You pansy wuss. That is pathetic. Mm. That is fucking sad. Oh my God.
It is. I think that part of the reason that this is an inhospitable environment for him as an interview is that he does not come off strong in that exchange.
No, he's a loser.
And I think that that is not the image he would like to cultivate.
No, and he has to, because if you rule via unceasing propaganda, you can't suddenly tell the truth.
Sure.
You just can't.
And that's why you need a guy like Tucker.
And that's why you can't go talk to somebody like that. Yeah.
So, Alex, he got the idea from Putin talking about January 6th.
Yeah.
He should maybe talk about January 6th a little.
Mm.
They really tried to make us, like, our lives a living hell, because they were scared of that uprising that happened on J6. They do not want the people to rebel.
Well, they're lucky we didn't. They say that was our planned thing. No, that was them setting us up. Imagine if a million people did show up with guns.
Yeah, it's true. And
I'm not saying do that, but I'm just saying careful what they claim's going on.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So I've noticed a shift in Alex's tone around January 6th lately. There's so much playing defense and calling everything like an Antifa deep state plot before, but now the rhetoric is changing. He's starting to talk more regularly about how things were supposed to be much worse, like he did recently about Pelosi being kidnapped.
Yep.
It's hard not to hear this as a veiled threat, or at least encouraging the audience to kind of think that way. If we have to, we can do a bigger January 6th where everyone's armed. This isn't a surprise, necessarily. Alex has played out the January 6th narrative, and there's not much else you can really farm from it, so you need to find a new angle to create tension around the topic. There's a really fucked up way to go about it, but it's right in line with the way Alex operates.
Yeah.
Create this tension, and it builds and builds. And, you know, there's a election year this year. If you have January 6th being a result of losing the last election,
yep,
you got to top it somehow. You can't go backwards.
Well, I mean, boy, when the Supreme Court disqualifies Trump, that's going to be a good day.
That's going to be
fun stuff.
I know that they're hearing the case.
My favorite, I think somebody made the best point, which was so funny to me, which is just, Trump said he was going to be a dictator. If you're on the Supreme Court, you don't want a dictator. You're infinitely powerful on the Supreme Court without a dictator.
bit.
So, no. He put us in the Supreme Court, and then we're not going to let him be president anymore.
That's so funny. Dictator for one day.
Sure. That's how dictators work.
It's different.
They get a day. Mm-hmm. Man.
Just give me a taste.
Have we considered, how about, and stop me if you've heard this before. All right. Mm-hmm. Once a year, for 24 hours, all crime is legal.
There's a series of documentaries about this.
Shit. Damn
so
it.
Alex tells his little version of what's happened in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And he's off about a number of things.
So they go in 9 years ago with all the State Department money. Soros goes on Fareed Zakaria on CNN and brags 5 years ago they overthrew it. They start ethnically cleansing the Russians that are the majority population. And then Putin says, I'm going to take part of the East as a security zone if you don't stop. She goes, okay, fine. I'll take Crimea first to show you 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Okay, that didn't convince you. Now I'm going to do this.
Really? This
and
is
now
your...
they're saying, oh, he wants to invade
that
all of Europe.
That makes sense to you.
And they're bracing for war in Poland. No evidence of that.
No, absolutely not. And
so that, yeah, that's the good version of things, which is wildly inaccurate, but it is fairly in line with like some of Putin's angles.
I am going to take your land as a warning.
Right. Yeah.
What an insane person to even entertain that as a thought.
I'm going
to
take some of your land because
how?
Because I will take all of it, and I want you to know I'm serious.
Sorry. How dare you even pretend that you're going to stop unless you're stopped. That's pathetic.
No, it was a warning.
That's fucking insane.
So Poland is not worried for no reason. There have been provocations at the border as well as the Lithuanian border.
Sure.
Thousands of Wagner Group mercs, they've shown up over at the border, and Belarus flew helicopters into the airspace of Poland in a move that PBS described back in August as, quote, provocational.
Ooh, good.
The likelihood of an attack on Poland does seem low, but it's not for no reason that leaders there might be concerned. A lot of this comes back to the Suwalki Gap, which we talked about on a recent episode, where there's a little bit of Russian territory called Kaliningrad. It's on the Baltic Sea.
Yeah.
This area is separated from Belarus by the Suwalki Gap, which is a border. It's the border between Lithuania and Poland.
Sure.
Many people have seen this as a possible area that Putin could target, and concerns about a deal with the militarization of Kaliningrad, as well as troops being sent to Belarus.
Yeah.
There are precursors there that you might see before trouble, and that's the grounds for what a lot of people are concerned about. It's not no reason. Also, that stuff Alex is saying is just nonsense.
Yeah. Yep, I think there's really, I mean, narratively speaking, if I'm writing this just for the satisfaction of, you know, tying together storylines, I'm going to have to say the French are going to conquer Russia. I think that's what we need to, like, make all of European history up to this point make sense, is France conquers Russia, and then Britain takes over France. Everybody in France moves to Russia, Britain takes over France, Portugal goes away.
Ooh, what about
We're
this?
We're not allowed to have Portugal anymore.
Crazy plot twist.
What's that?
Luxembourg takes over.
Ooh, I like Luxembourg.
Luxembourg's part of France, as we learned from Alex. Yeah, I don't know, man.
That's right.
Shit's a mess.
Luxembourg, France.
So Alex has some other stories that he has wrong, including the one about the Nord Stream.
Sure.
When the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up, it was because they were trying to remove the option of Russian support. It was, you know, they were providing natural gas to Germany and other countries, and they removed that obstacle for them.
And then blame the Russians.
Yep, and then blame the Russians. When obviously, I mean, it didn't make any sense for Russia.
Well, Cy Hirsch got the witnesses. They came forward. It was Navy divers.
Now, who is that?
Navy divers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what we knew it was. Oh, so US
no, not Navy,
Navy
divers.
Yep. Interesting.
Navy
so
divers.
We knew that. I mean, there was obviously Ukrainian involvement in that. However, you know,
but they're just puppets. But no, Cy Hirsch got the documents. Special operations is under congressional control, the Navy SEALs. So they went to Panama and trained regular industrial Navy divers for it.
Yeah, that is shocking. Tell me Putin hasn't practiced great restraint.
Such a restrained man. Yeah, she's doing a good job trying to roll with the narrative shifts.
Yeah.
There are no documents that Seymour Hersh was supposed to have got. His story is entirely based on a single anonymous source who claims that divers from Panama blew up the Nord Stream. His work is really sloppy, though. Like, one great example was pointed out by Politico. Quote, the article certainly included some dubious claims, not least that NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has, quote, cooperated with the American intelligence community since the Vietnam War. Stoltenberg, born in 1959, was 16 years old when the war ended. A little sloppy. Alex also has some details wrong here because he's just taken the general headline of Hersh's story and then written his own narrative about it. For instance, Alex adds in the documents because it sounds like so much stronger proof than
like
a single
documents.
Anonymous source. Yeah. You can brush that away.
Always have documents.
Hersh's work was very sloppy, and Alex's coverage of it is sloppy on top of itself, but it doesn't matter. The goal is supporting Putin, and presenting the story this way serves that end.
Yeah.
And so that's what's being done.
Man, anyway. I cannot imagine believing these things. Mm-hmm. They just sound so stupid.
They do, but
you know,
there's a narrative thread to it, and it's kind of exciting.
I get why it would be good, like reality TV. But the idea that you would believe. But I mean, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Like, the idea that you would believe reality TV storylines are 100% true.
Hey, now.
You know?
Hey, now.
Like, that kind of, you know, like, you know this is lies for your...
Is it?
Oh, God.
I'm pretty invested on the reality of the traitors.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
We've had enough of Lauren Witzke, though.
Yes, we have.
They talk about the border a little bit, and I don't care.
Don't.
So, Alex coming back from this conversation.
Sure.
Gets a little bit into a weird headspace.
Okay.
When he comes back. He's got a little twist in his narcissism.
Okay.
I was walking back to the studio, and I just thought about, what am I supposed to say right now? You know, I've got all this news.
I quit.
All this information in front of me.
I would take that.
But I'm not just here to cover news. I'm here to really talk about the heart of the matter. And I thought, well, just look in the mirror. And
oh, God,
you know, a thought is hard to quantify.
You bet.
Oh, boy.
A thought is so complex, so deep, connected to so many things. And you're like, how do you say this? And so I was sitting here as the music started with Jimi Hendrix singing, thinking, how do I explain this? And I thought, well, maybe you shouldn't even say it.
Maybe.
And I'm like, no. It's deep. Not even that. I mean, it's huge, but it's simple at the same time, but also super deep, like wow. Anything complex.
Man.
Mm.
Pass the joint.
Yeah.
Here's the best way to say it. We've already been conquered. Let's stop lying to ourselves. We're not in a war. We lost the war. But if you're occupied by an enemy power, the first thing you got to do is admit you're occupied. So I don't say that to demoralize you or make you depressed. I say it because let's just admit we've been trained to put up with outrageous garbage. I have another word for it.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it on the radio.
Bullshit?
It's shit, yeah.
So I'm trying to explain this. It's
going great.
You know what
I'm
talking about.
Don't stop now.
It's a sense of
guilt. Let it ride.
That we've let it go this far. And that it's kind of sick if I just sit here and like chronicle this like I'm doing a voiceover to a snuff film.
You can't
I'm
look into the mirror, man.
I'm not doing this to just sit here and fear porn cover the latest new world developments. I really want to stop this. And to do that, we have to admit that we've literally been under bio attack. And I don't like to be like a liberal, oh, we're victims, but every man, woman, and child in the world.
You say you're victims all the fucking time.
Are veterans of a bioweapon attack through the virus and then through the shot. And we have to really take that seriously is what I'm saying.
Yeah, take it serious. This is stolen valor. This is stolen bio attack valor.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am a veteran of equal standing to any veteran of any war.
Maybe
just
more.
So happens,
maybe more so.
Just so happens, mine is fictional.
Right.
Non-existent.
And I didn't get the vaccine.
I didn't do it.
So
nope. I got COVID four times.
Right.
Yeah.
Quite an attack.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's in a weird headspace.
Can't look into a mirror.
No.
No.
But I started to, like, what is he talking about?
That's a good question, yes.
And most of that was prompted by him expressing that he can't express the thing that he's saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say words.
I mean, it is so much. Every time I'm like,
a thought is complex.
Every time I go back and it's like, oh, I wonder what's inside Alex's mind. And then he starts a sentence with like, I was looking in the mirror and I'm trying to tell you how I think. And I'm like, don't run. Get out of here. Don't look in the mirror.
It's usually a bear riding a unicycle. Yes. Banging cymbals together. That's what's in his head.
Yep.
So I was like, what is going on here? What is this about? And as he talks a little bit more, he kind of gets, I got a sense of what he's talking about.
And we have to really take that seriously is what I'm saying. And a lot of you are like, well, Jones, you take it pretty serious, man. No, I don't. No.
Okay.
I mean, that's what happened in the first hour. I was so upset about all this that I couldn't even make myself cover it. And so I played the SWAT team clip of the women SWAT team members that couldn't find their ass with both hands. And see, I could do a really entertaining show like that and be somewhat conservative, but it's not going to beat the New World Order to just play fun clips and show how stupid the left is. The left are people that fell to the enemy brainwashing and programming.
Anyways,
they're
up
people
next,
we
Dankula.
Lost.
So I do agree with Alex on one thing, and that's that he was just filling time with that shit about the women's SWAT team.
Yeah.
It was not funny, and it really is just an avenue for him to push his misogyny and, by extension, transphobia. But what I kind of take issue with him is that he's thinking that that's different than what his show is most of the time.
Yeah.
His show isn't serious. They don't get into deep issues. Most of the time, he's just yelling about memes. In the real world, Alex is like the Chris Hardwick of right-wing bigot Twitter. He's out there scanning for hot memes and then yelling about them as if it's the news. And I can understand him feeling frustrated about that, and I think that's what's going on. It's a meaningless exercise, and it's hard to imagine somebody actually enjoying watching his show, but yeah, in his head, Alex is this big-time revolutionary, and in reality, he's just an idiot recapping social media and headlines he skimmed. And guess what? He isn't the one who's interviewing Vladimir Putin. Mm-mm. He never would be. And that's where I think this is coming from.
Yeah.
His buddy scored the top-of-the-line interview for their right-wing, Putin-loving media space, and Alex is forced to, as he put it, look in the mirror. He has to see that he's never going to be in that position. He is where he is, and that's all he's ever going to be. He can poison the discourse and erode his audience's critical thinking skills with, you know, fake shit and emotional outbursts, but as a person, being Tucker's friend is probably as close as he's ever going to get to the real shit. And that's got to suck, particularly since Alex has said for the last few years that Putin watches his show daily.
Yeah.
Putin's a big fan of Alex, and all the Russian propagandists that have worked with Alex have probably even said so, and yet Tucker's the choice. Poor guy.
So sad.
Don't look in the mirror, man.
Don't look in the mirror.
You're gonna feel that. You're gonna feel that complicated nonsense about how you're not taking this seriously. You're not serious. People don't take you seriously.
Yeah, it is so. It's so consistent, especially throughout this episode. This just like, these are people who are unable to enjoy the thing they are.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire existence is obscuring the thing they are.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, Alex's power and prestige and everything comes from his profound unseriousness.
Yes.
It is his unseriousness that has made him a star.
It is probably the only thing that makes him different.
And he doesn't get to enjoy that?
No.
He has to feel bad about it.
Because he wants to be Tucker. He wants to be the guy that has a veneer of credibility. He wants to be the person.
But Tucker doesn't even get to enjoy his profound unseriousness.
No.
He doesn't even get to enjoy fucking interviewing Putin the right way.
Mm.
Like, how fucked is that?
But there's degrees.
There is degrees,
And, like, Alex will never be in the position that Tucker's in, because for someone like Putin to do that interview, he has to be able to pretend to take the other person seriously.
Yeah.
And you can pretend to take Tucker Carlson seriously. You can't pretend to take Alex seriously.
God. Yeah.
And Alex understands that, because here it's the tension. It's the push and pull of Alex. When he looks in the mirror, he understands that yelling about women SWAT teams is probably his lot in life.
That is the peak
right.
of what he can do.
He can do that.
That is his talent.
But he can do that about serious topics.
Yep.
He can do the same sort of coverage
right.
about some a meme that's about something else.
And sometimes that's what people want.
But there's not really much more past that.
Nope.
But he feels like he is.
Yep.
He feels like he's supposed to be the most important person in the world, not Tucker.
Yeah.
And that tension is going to get you. It makes you feel weird.
It just you know, even Putin doesn't get to enjoy on NBC, doesn't get to say to an NBC reporter, yeah, how great is it to be a dictator? That guy, I can just order, like, MBS didn't, at least he was like, eh, no comment. You know, at least he was like, eh, oh, yeah, of course I chopped that guy into little bits. That's what I can do. How great is that for me? You know, like, that's why I love being, that's why I say I'm a clown, and I love saying that I'm a clown. I love being a clown. It's an enjoyable life.
Sure.
You know, like, be the thing you are
sure.
and be happy with it.
It's like Uncle Howdy said, revel in what you are.
Revel in what you, I just don't get it. That sucks, man. Enjoy the evil you are if you're going to be that evil.
Like, hey, Uncle Howdy.
Yeah.
One of the most evil entities that has ever.
Perhaps the most evil entity that's ever lived.
So, Alex interviews Drew Hernandez, the baby reporter, because he went down to the border in California, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Then there was another thing that happens before that interview that I'm just not going to play any clips of, but I feel like I should point out.
What?
Alex gets, like, he goes on a rant about circumcision. he's a bit anti-circumcision.
Okay.
And I just.
All right.
I'm not saying that you can or can't be, you know, pro or against circumcision.
Sure.
It's just weird. Alex is deep into. Leave it alone. God made it. Leave it alone.
Yeah, I have no judgment wherever you fall.
Right.
But it is odd for Alex to spend an extended amount of time
on it. It's not something that I have known to be part of his, like, general perspectives.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of his issues that comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Opposition to circumcision.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, like, the predicated, like, the argument that he bases it on is, like, God made you. Let's not mess with God.
Sure.
And to that point, it should be a Christian Scientist then or something, right? I mean, like, he's gotten oral surgery.
Yeah,
at
whatever,
very least.
Whatever you're saying, just stop there.
It's very strange.
You haven't thought it all the way through.
Yeah. But it was very, very fucked up. Mm. Just listening to him talk about dicks, and I just, I didn't enjoy it.
Weird.
It's not fun. Mm. So anyway, we come to the end of this, Jordan.
Yes.
And we got that that interview to look forward to.
Oh,
but
my God.
It is so strange that through this episode, the journey through it, there is a feeling of, like, a strange relationship that Alex has to this.
Yeah.
You know, there's the, it's so exciting, my buddy Tucker has got this interview. Tucker is mine.
Yeah.
This ownership of the connection to Tucker. And then as things go along, this, like, wrestling with looking in the mirror, seeing, like, I'm not serious. I'm not taken seriously. There's a wild path that Alex walks that, I don't know. It kind of is a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
it's a little bit of a bummer because it is an understandable human experience. You can know those feelings.
Yeah. Man.
Hmm. What about those warrants?
I wonder what it's like. You know, you can only read about the past, watch documentaries, and listen to people talk about the past, you know. And ultimately, I think everybody lies in the sense of, like, they tend to make things more streamlined.
Yeah, you gotta clean up the story.
You clean up the story a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? The present seems utterly fucking insane.
It seems impossible that anyone would ever be able to talk about the last 10 years in any coherent fashion.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, like, even the Iraq War, like, I think
that's
you can
crazy.
Clean that up.
You can
it's
clean
crazy,
it up.
But you can clean it up into something you could give a lecture on.
Totally.
And somebody would get the broad idea of what's happened.
No, yeah.
The last 10 years have been
chaos.
Nuts.
Absolute chaos.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
You can't
utter
clean
chaos.
This shit up for a story.
No one's making any sense. Everybody is trying their best. People are fucking everything up.
People of goodwill and good faith are still fucking things up.
Yeah.
And people who have ill will are...
I mean, it's just chaos.
Someone like Alex is obviously an insincere bad actor.
Yeah.
But even he's been all over the place.
Totally.
It's...
Totally. No, it is like...
Chaos times create chaos
finding,
in people.
Finding a consistent position from anyone has been nigh impossible.
And I think that there's probably some criticism to be made that we've even had some inconsistency. I wouldn't put that past us. But I think that we get a little bit lucky in that the subject that we cover is consistently full of shit.
Right.
And so there is a consistency in, like, we're just talking about Alex being full of shit. Right. That's not going to change anytime
soon. Right. I mean, I think there's a difference between inconsistency and being corrected. You know, like, we've been corrected.
Sure.
I've been wrong about tons of shit.
Sure.
No big deal.
Probably look forward to a couple things from today, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. It is not inconsistent to be corrected and then go, yep, I was wrong about that, and moving on.
That's a fair point.
That is consistency, mm-hmm. You know? It is inconsistent whenever people are just like, well, don't care.
Well, and
I like this, and I like that, and I like this, and it's okay for me to love Jesus, and it's okay for me to love killing people on a Tuesday. Like, it's just chaos.
And it's just super weird, too, to, like, just really take a step back and recognize how it was not that long ago that Alex was talking about how he has all the documents, and it's been proven that Putin fakes all these terror attacks to seize power and all this shit. And that all just went away.
Yeah.
Like, his audience is expected to just be like, oh, I guess Alex was lying or wrong about something he claimed he proved.
Yeah.
That a world leader was false flagging his people in order to seize power, which should call into question the credibility of all the other times Alex says that, but you just ignore that. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Jordan, what a fucking mess. I am not looking forward to doing this interview, but we're going to have to do it.
I was going to say, at least the history-making thing we're going to talk about isn't also a tragedy of epic proportions. Oh, wait. Fuck.
And if Alex is correct and it's 2 hours, this is going to be
a fucking nightmare. That is unreal.
Might be a two-parter.
Please.
Who knows?
Please just...
Why is 2024 fucking with me so much?
I don't know.
We had the debate, two episodes. The Jimmy Dore thing was two episodes.
No, you're getting your ass beat. And I don't know why. Whew. You haven't done anything to anybody except for, like, succeed.
Maybe that's the problem.
When people see you're good at something, they ask you to do it more.
The universe.
Goddamn universe.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan.
Yes.
Until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Blue Sky.
We are on Blue Sky. I've also
forgotten to check Blue Sky in quite a while, so...
We are off social media. We are almost entirely impossible to get in contact with.
Turns out platform, not the problem.
Just not made for it.
Anyway, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark. There's no twist.
You got the twist. You got the tone a little bit off at first, but
right.
You're back.
Funhouse mirror.
I like it.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.